Tonight we're going to begin in Philippians, the second chapter. Tonight we're going to be focusing on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the ministry of Jesus. So let's just take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. Father, we ask you, Lord, to open the eyes of our understanding that we might be enlightened. We thank you for truth to walk in. Lord, your word says that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for opening our eyes and helping us to see things that we didn't see before. We just thank you tonight that we'll become more like Jesus as we're doers of the word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I want to talk about the relationship of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our greatest source of understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives can be seen in the ministry of Jesus, in his relationship, how he was led by the Spirit of God. You know, it's funny that some people almost discredit the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus because he's Jesus. And people think, well, you know, he's Jesus. He's God. He doesn't really need the Spirit of God. You know, he's God. He can do anything he wants to. But it is true that Jesus is God, and we think, you know, we're grateful for that, and that he was with the Father from the very beginning. However, when he stepped out of eternity and came to the earth, he set aside his godliness and became a man. And we find that scripture reference in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So we know that while Jesus was in the earth, he was not God in a sense. He set aside his godliness, his godly powers, so to speak, and came and humbled himself in the form of a man. Everything that Jesus did and accomplished on this earth, he did as a man filled with the Spirit of God. And he was and is our example. All throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see him taking time to pray and to walk in the will of his Father. You know, sometimes we read about Jesus, how he went away to secluded places and he prayed, and he talks much about talking to his Father, and certainly that is important. And we know that prayer, all prayer, is directed to the Father. And so when we pray, we pray in the name of Jesus, but we pray to the Father. And so we see in the ministry of Jesus that he also talked to his Heavenly Father, but we also see the ministry of the Holy Spirit at work through him. We can see in the gospel account where Jesus was led by the Spirit. I have some of those in your notes there. In Matthew 4, it talks about how Jesus was led into the wilderness. That's where he was tempted. But it says that he was led by the Spirit of God to do that. Matthew 12, verse 28, he talks about how he drove out demons by the Spirit of God. Matthew 12, verse 36, spoke of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Luke 2, 27, he was moved by the Holy Spirit when he went into the temple. Remember, he went into the temple and cleared it. And that was, the Bible says that he was moved by the Spirit to do that. And Jesus said himself over in, recorded in John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, I want to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the ministry of Jesus. Let's take a look at John 16, John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You know, there's a wealth of knowledge here that Jesus is describing who the Holy Spirit is, not only to him, but to us. He will glorify me, the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus actually taught a great deal about being filled with the Spirit. God wants to help us in our lives, and he wants to influence us. And this is one of the primary reasons that he gave us the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. How many of you want the help of the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen. Me too. He wants to lead us and guide us in the right direction. And your life as a believer needs to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, many times people will ask questions. You know, what should I do? What should I pray about? What should I, well, you know, I have to make a decision. What should I do? What does God want me to do? The answers to a million questions is to be led by the Spirit of God. And I don't use that as a pat answer, but there's no set answer for every question in life. You know, if this happens, do this. If this happens, do this. Every situation in life is very individual and very personal. We're all different. We're all different people, and God has plans and different courses for us to follow. And it's important that we follow the leading of the Spirit of God in our life. What God may tell you, he might not tell me the same thing. That doesn't mean that you're right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong. It just means God leads us in different ways. You know, I heard the testimony once of someone that was having a stomach problem. And the Lord, they were in prayer about it, and the Lord told them to give up coffee. And so they gave up coffee and their stomach got better. So does that mean that everyone on the planet has to give up coffee? No. That's just what the Lord told them. And we can't take what the Spirit of God tells others and make it doctrine for us. We need to hear from the Spirit of God ourselves. And God will show you things that affect your life. Maybe in your life you need to give up candy bars. Or maybe it's nothing at all. Maybe you need to rest and get some water. Can't do it. I can't give up a candy bar. You know, again, we need to be led by the Spirit in our lives. And the Spirit of God wants to guide each of us. And he wants us to listen. The idea of the Holy Spirit as a helper is that we don't have to do this life on our own. We don't have to have it all figured out. We can allow him to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to help us, but he'll never force himself on us. When we have questions in life, the Holy Spirit is there to give us the answers. If you need an answer from the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to quiet yourself and listen. You know, people often get perplexed. Well, what do you mean? Where is the Holy Spirit? How do I hear him? How is he going to talk to me? Where do I go to find him? He's on the inside of you. And many people have tried to describe in different ways how the Spirit of God talks to you. And I just want to convey that to you tonight, that there's different ways that the Spirit of God can talk to you. You might be reading your Bible and you're doing your devotions, and all of a sudden one verse that you read, it just pops up out of the page to you. And wow, I didn't see that before. That's just what I needed to hear today. That's the Spirit of God talking to you. That's the Spirit of God directing and guiding you. Sometimes there's a feeling, I hesitate to use that terminology because it's not really a feeling. It's more of a knowing on the inside of you. Just like you know you're born again. Just like you know that God is real, you can know other things. The Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit. He will show you things. I like to think of it this way. It was described to me this way, that sometimes it's like a stoplight. When you're going along and you're seeking God for direction and wisdom, And you, Lord, which way should I go? Should I turn right or turn left? And you start turning right. And all of a sudden, you sense on the inside either a red light or a green light, like a stoplight. You know, if it's a green light, you just go with it. If it's a red light, what do? You stop and you go in the other direction. Sometimes it's like we understand this when it comes to sin. When you get out of the grace of God and you enter into an area of sin in your life, you know on the inside something's not right. Your mind communicates, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be getting involved with this, and you have that choice at that moment. Am I going to do it or am I going to not? And that's the Spirit of God working with you, trying to guide your life, trying to get you to side in with Him. Another way someone has described it, it's a warm, velvety feeling on the inside of you, meaning that the Spirit of God will direct you. You know, you have that velvety feeling on the inside of you. It's just seems right, seems like the right direction to go. That's the Spirit of God directing you. Other times it might be like taking a shower with your socks on. Something's not quite right. That's the Spirit of God saying you've stepped out of a bound of grace. You're going in the wrong direction. Come back. And so we need to learn to listen to that. When we learn to listen to that voice on the inside and that direction on the inside, God can guide us and we can be more successful spiritually. That's what we're after. We want God to guide our lives because He's only got good things in store for us. When you don't know what to do or where to go, the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does. When you're so worn out and confused and you don't even know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. Let's look at two scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit's role in our life. The first one's found in Romans chapter 8. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is our guide. Jesus said, thy word is truth. He will guide us in the truth of God's word. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There again, how do you know that you're born again? How do you know that you have eternal life? The Spirit of God on the inside of you gives you that assurance. The Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in a body. But the Holy Spirit will talk to your spirit. That's how the Spirit of God works. He will talk to your inner man. You can't be led by someone unless you're first willing to yield and follow them. People get into all kinds of messes because they don't follow the guide. The Holy Spirit is the guide. If you allow Him to guide you, you can avoid some problems in your life. He'll steer you around some pits and some potholes. If you'll listen and pay attention, He will help you, and your road will be a little smoother and straighter. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 20 is the second scripture I want to look at. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Bible says that we have an anointing from the Holy One, and that we know all things. That doesn't mean that we know everything that there is to know in our natural mind. You know, you could go to 28,000 years of schooling and still not know everything in the world. But the Bible talks about you have a knowing of all things. God knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. And whatever it is that you need to know, it's at your disposal if you'll tune in to heaven, if you'll tune in to the Spirit of God, because He will show you things. He will reveal things to you. Why is it that when we read our Bible or we hear a sermon And we hear the same scriptures that we have heard before, or we read the same chapter we've read before, but then all of a sudden, there's a new revelation. Well, that's the Spirit of God revealing truth. That's what he does. That's what it means that we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. The Spirit of God knows all things. So we must understand that God's heart for us is to know him in a real way. He wants to be involved in our lives. He desires to speak to us, to help us through this journey of life that we're going down. And to help him accomplish this, he's given us his Spirit to guide us. And God wants to speak to us. Why is it that many people say, well, I never hear from God. I don't know. God never talks to me. I prayed. I've even fasted, and I just can't hear anything. Well, first of all, don't speak that way because you're siding in against yourself. You know, you need to be in agreement with God, and it takes faith and believing. Don't say that you never hear from God, because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They don't know the voice of a stranger. They know me. And so we have to start believing what the Word says and stop speaking contrary to that. Don't side in against God. God says that he'll talk to you, that his Spirit will bear witness with you. Well, you have to believe that and trust it. Father, I don't know the decision that I have to make in front of me, but I thank you that I have the Holy Spirit and he'll help me make the right decision. What are you doing? You're siding in with God. You're saying, God, I'm going with you. I'm trusting you. I'm relying on you. I'm leaning into you. That's what we need to be doing. And you know, for the Bible says let's look at Romans 8 again. In the original Greek language of Romans 8 in verse 14, the sentence structure is reversed, and it reads this way. So in the original language, it reads this way. For as many as by the Spirit are being led, they are the sons of God. I like that. For as many as by the Spirit are being led, that's us, as we're being led by the Spirit, those people are the sons of God. That's us. I like, it's just a little clearer, meaning that the Spirit of God is first and we follow him. Then we are called the sons of God. Another interesting point in the Greek word, the Greek word for led, the Greek word is ago, which means to lead much, kind of like an animal with a rope around its neck. You would lead it wherever you wanted to go. But this word ago from the Greek is also the root word of the Greek word agon, which is where we get the word agony, which is an interesting study. The Greek word describes an intense conflict, a struggle, much like a wrestling match. I believe that describes that even though the Holy Spirit wants to lead us in our life, our flesh or our human nature doesn't like the idea of being led. And there's a struggle there. It's a conflict there. As a believer, I think that as a believer, we should be easy to work with. We all want God to do good things in our life. Lord, answer our prayers, bless us, help us, heal us. We want all these good things from God. Well, be easy to work with. Be easy to work with. What does that mean? That means when the Spirit of God tells you to do something, that you don't argue with him, that you don't put up a fuss, that you don't reason away for 12 days. You do it, and you're quick about it, and you have a good attitude about it. Be easy to work with. The Spirit of God should be able to easily work with you. Don't be stubborn. Don't be hard-hearted, hard-headed. Be quick to listen. You know, you don't need to hear an audible voice or see a burning bush before you can believe it. You can choose to believe. Yield to that inward voice. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. You are a son of God, the Bible says. The word says that sons should be led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will always lead. He'll never force you. He'll never drive you. He'll never make you. He doesn't make you do something. He's not going to come and take over your life. Some people have that idea spiritually. Lord, just come and do. Just come and do what you want to do. No, God put you in charge. And God's not going to violate your free will just because you're feeling lazy. Really, that's what that is, spiritual laziness. You want God to just do everything in your life. Well, God put you in charge. You have to make the right choices. You have to line your words up with His. You have to choose to follow Him and be led by His Spirit. Sometimes in life, we try to figure things out all the time. You'll never have enough information or know enough to make right choices every time. You know, things can look perfect on paper. Things can look perfect in relationships. Things can look perfect in your career. But that doesn't mean they are. The right person can check all the boxes, but they're not the right person for you. The right job could just look like it's the best thing. It matches your whole resume. But if it's not the right job for you, it's not the right place for you. And so you can never have enough information to make right choices all the time. But God knows all things. And He knows exactly what to do in every situation. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. So why wouldn't you ask Him? Why wouldn't you involve Him when you're making decisions in your life? I'm telling you, you need to. Don't assume. Don't act like you got it all handled. Ask Him. Check in with Him. Lord, is this the right one for me? Is this the right path for me? Is this what I should be involved with today? Ask Him. Ask Him and allow Him to give you that red light, green light. Don't sit back and wait for Him to do everything. That's being a parked car, and we know what we say about parked cars. God can't direct a parked car. You got to be moving. You got to be willing. You got to be mobile, right? Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going. Sometimes I encourage people, you know, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to decide. I tell people, make a decision in your mind. I'm going to do such and such. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to get involved with that. I've decided that's what I'm going to do. Now I say, check your inside. Check your inside. How are you feeling? Not feeling per se, but what are you sensing on the inside? Does that seem right to you? Or is it like taking a shower with your socks on? Something's not right. Pay attention to that, because that's how the Spirit of God is directing you. These are just real practical things tonight to help you understand the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sometimes we just want to say, okay, Lord, just tell me what to do. I'll wait till I see a burning bush. I'll wait till you skyride it in the sky. Have three people come over and tell me. Wait. I'll put out a fleece. I'll do this or that. No. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by fortune tellers. We're not led by horoscopes. We're not led by fleeces. We're not led by if you do this or this, I'll do this and this. No, that we're led by the Spirit of God. We don't depend on external things, because the enemy can get involved with that. Other people's will can get involved with that. Other people will try to persuade you to do this or that. You want to do what God tells you. So the only way you're going to do that is paying attention to the inner man. Your spirit man, the Holy Spirit, is going to talk to your spirit. So it's a safe thing that when you've renewed your mind and you've put the Word of God in you and you're seeking the Lord, that He will talk to you and give you information, inside information that you didn't know. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct your path. Don't rely just on your intellect. Don't rely just on the facts, because you don't know what's beyond the facts. I remember years ago, a friend was asking me to pray about an investment that they were going to make. They were going to make a large investment, and they wanted me to pray to see if it was what God wanted them to do. And I was encouraging them to pray because God will speak to them. But I also joined my faith with his, and we prayed. And, you know, again, you can trust it. If you make that decision, it's moving. You're moving. You're making a choice. You don't have to do the choice per se, but say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. Okay, now, what are you sensing on the inside? Always follow the peace. Always follow after peace. Boy, that's something you should write down. Always follow after peace in your life. Why? Because he is the Spirit of peace. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And there's peace where there's truth. So what are you getting on the inside? Never mind out here. It looked like an incredible investment. Everything on paper just couldn't be better. And it wasn't too good to be true. It looked like a powerful investment. But something on the inside. I said, it looks like such the opportunity of a lifetime. But something on the, no. I'm getting no. You can do what you want, but that's what God's telling me. And again, these are the things that we want our life to be led. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He's not just a force, or some kind of power. He's not a vapor or a spiritual cloud. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Some people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He's not an it. Listen to how Jesus refers to him. John 14:16. We've read this. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. 5 times Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a him. He's a person. He's a person. He's not some dove. He's not a cloud. He's not a vapor. Nothing. He's not an it. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, during his ministry, he looks to the Holy Spirit for direction and wisdom. We see him in times of prayer talking to his Father, and he often speaks of his Father that the religious people of the day do not know his Father. But we know that the Spirit of God is always working. You might recall that when Jesus went to the temple, that he asked for the scrolls, and he stood and read from the scrolls of Isaiah, and it's recorded in Luke 4. I want to read that to you because it's significant. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who is that talking about? It's Jesus is reading this, but who is he talking about? The Spirit of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying the Holy Spirit is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What is he saying? that today I am anointed with the Holy Spirit to do all these things. That's what he's saying. We read there in John 16, it said that he will glorify me. The Spirit of God will glorify me, speaking of Jesus. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What does that mean? That the Holy Spirit is going to reveal Jesus to us. That's what that scripture means. That the Holy Spirit will remind us. He'll put us in remembrance of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 16, verse 13 says that the Spirit of God will show us things to come. How many of you would like to know some things that are coming in your life? Well, we have no way of knowing that. But the Spirit of God knows all things. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows all things. And not only that, the Bible says that he will show us things to come. Is he going to show people that aren't interested? No. You have to ask him. You have to engage him. Holy Spirit, show me. Show me. Open my eyes. Show me things that I need to know. Show me things to pray about. Show me things that are coming up in my future. He will, if you ask him. There's been times that the Holy Spirit has directed me to pray about things in my future. He didn't tell me what it is, but he says, spend some extra time praying. Get prayed up. And I'm glad I did, because there was a tough season ahead, but I sailed right through it because I was ready. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And he might not tell you in great detail, or he might tell you in great detail. It's different with everybody. Well, what he tells me is not the same thing he'll tell you, because you're a different person. So sometimes people might get up and give a testimony. Well, the Spirit of God told me to read Psalm 23 every day for 3 months. So you hear that and you say, well, I got to go home and read Psalm. I want to be like Pastor. I got to go home and read Psalm 23 for 3 months every day. No, you're missing the point. You need to be led in your life. And the Spirit of God might talk to you about taking 10 minutes to pray in the Spirit, or taking 15 minutes to read through the gospel account. I don't know what he'll tell you, but if you'll listen, he will talk to you about your life. The Holy Spirit will teach you about Jesus and make him more real to you. That's what it says, that he'll take from me and show it to you. He's going to make Jesus more real to you. Over in John 15, the Gospel of John 15, verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Jesus is talking. We know that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit that when he left and departed the earth, that he would send the Holy Spirit from the Father. We know from the scriptures that Jesus is not here on earth. The Bible tells us that when he was raised from the dead, that he ascended on high, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's praying for us. But Jesus is not here on the earth. Who's here? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the active agent here in the earth. When you get born again, you're born of the Spirit. We'll get into that. John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. What a powerful thing. So, you know, sometimes we just wander around and we don't know what to do. We're confused about a situation. We're confused about life. We don't know what to choose. We don't know what to do with ourselves. The Bible says he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that Jesus has said. Smith Wigglesworth, who was an apostle of faith in the early 1900s, just God used him mightily. He's got many, many books that he's written. He was a plumber in England, and God got a hold of him, and just miraculous things happened in his life. And he said this once. He said, "I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." I love that. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside because we've got God there. All that we need is there. Everything that you could possibly need is found in him. We have much available to us, yet for the most part, we forget about it, or we don't yield ourselves to it, or we forget to tune in, or we forget to recognize spiritual things. We don't yield ourselves to him. When the Spirit of God is trying to teach us or guide us, we resist him. We're distracted. We're not paying attention. You know, we hear it all the time. People say, if something bad happens, and they said, "You know, I just had a feeling on the inside that I shouldn't do that." What does that mean? The Spirit of God was working with them, trying to get them to make a better choice. Did you ever say that in your own life? I just knew I shouldn't do that. I knew I shouldn't have said that. I knew I should have. Well, how did you know that? The Spirit of God on the inside of you, trying to direct you. You know, I love reading about things in history, and I remember during the days of 9/11, people were just, all the different reports. That building could have been filled up with thousands and thousands of people. And I believe that God spoke to everyone. Not everyone was listening. Not everyone recognized his voice. But the ones that would listen and pay attention, God helped them. And God wanted to help everybody. And that's I'm not trying to cast a light on anyone that perished by any means, because we've all missed it, haven't we? We're in good company. I've missed it plenty. And thank God it didn't cost me my life, but I've missed it plenty of times. You've missed it plenty of times. But God is always talking to us. And if we learn to recognize his voice in the little things, when it gets to the big things, we'll know his voice. People said, "Oh, I don't know, I stopped for coffee. I never do that, but I did. I was running late. I don't know what happened, but again and again and again and again and again." Story after story after story of people that weren't in those buildings. I believe God was talking to everybody, trying to save them, trying to get them out of harm's way. And thank God he did. So many people were spared. Our hearts are broken for the tragedy that happened, but so many people were spared. And I believe it. If you recognize the hand of God, he was involved. We are not left helpless. Excuse me. We have the greater one on the inside of us. We all have the power we need over the enemy in this life to live victorious. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? I want to get into this before we finish tonight. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We hear that terminology in the Bible and even in church sometimes. We need to understand that there are two definitions in the Word of God that talk about an experience with the Holy Spirit. And it's good for you to have not only understanding of it yourself, but know how to explain this to someone else. There are two there's a difference between being born of the Spirit coming within our spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit coming upon our spirit. Let's look at some biblical examples. John, the third chapter, Jesus is having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, and he's talking to him about salvation. Jesus, in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again." born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This is speaking about the new birth. You must be born again in order to go to heaven. It's not church attendance. It's not being good. It's not being kind. It's not trying to earn your way to heaven. You have to be born again. You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Receiving him in your heart, you become a new creation in Christ. If you want to be born again, you have the assurance that you are going to heaven when you depart this world. It's the only assurance there is. The Bible says that you must confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. John 14, verse 17 says similar, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." This is an example of being born of the Spirit. When you get born again, you receive the Spirit of God. You receive the Spirit of truth, and he comes to live on the inside of you. I remember when I first got born again, I got born again and Spirit-filled at the same time. And I was just, I was 7 or 8. I was a kid. I always thought, when I was young, I used to think that people that weren't filled with the Spirit didn't have the Holy Spirit. But as I learned to study my Bible and grew and understood the Word more, I understood that anyone that got born again has the Holy Spirit in them. That doesn't mean that they are filled with the Spirit, but everyone that is born again has the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's in them. He can direct them. He can guide them. He can teach them. He can be in there, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're filled with the Spirit. We're gonna look at that. Over in Acts, the second chapter, the second experience that the Bible talks about with the Holy Spirit is called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When we are not only born of the Spirit of God, we can also be filled with the Spirit. In Acts, the second chapter, verse 4, this is the early church, the apostles and the early disciples. They were in the upper room after Jesus was raised up from the dead and ascended into heaven. And it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is an example of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is different from being born of the Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Not in you, upon you. There's a difference there. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is speaking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, or also known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that these are two separate experiences. Again, the first one's being born of the Spirit at the new birth, when a person believes in his heart and confesses Jesus as Lord, that God raised him up from the dead. He receives salvation and eternal life. At that moment, the Spirit of God comes and dwells on the inside of him, born of the Spirit. The second experience, which is after salvation, is known as being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the Spirit of God, or being baptized with the Holy Spirit. When this happens, a believer is endued with power for service. We could say that the Holy Spirit comes upon our spirit and endues us with power. Maybe in your journey with God, you've come across some confusing teachings regarding the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of them out there. Like anything, we always have to go back to the Word. Amen. You have to go back. The Word is the foundation of everything we believe. You don't believe it just because this church believes it. You believe it because it's in the Word, and it bears witness with your spirit. Just like any spiritual subject, there can be a ditch on either side of the road. But we need to stay out of the ditches and stay in the middle of the road. Stay on solid biblical truth. A ditch on one side of the road says that there is no such experience as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll find lots of denominations that love God, do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The ditch on the other side of the road is that unless a person is filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they don't have the Spirit at all, which is incorrect as well. And some will even go as far as that they're not saved if they don't have the baptism. Actually, the scriptures teach that there is an experience after being born again that is being filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit, but the Bible doesn't teach that unless a person is filled or baptized that they do not have the Spirit at all. So again, we need to walk in the truth, walk in the light of the Word. We can clearly see the significance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the ministry of Jesus as well. When we read the Great Commission to the church, there are three primary goals of the church: preach the gospel of salvation, baptize in the Holy Spirit, and heal the sick. That's what Jesus instructed the church to do before he left the earth. Those three things: preach salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and heal the sick. You can't do any of these things effectively without the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is not on the earth. It's the Spirit of God that's here. One last thing I'd like to touch on. I know my time's growing short, but as long as we're talking about the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit, many times along this line of conversation, people have questions about the unpardonable sin that the Bible talks about regarding the Holy Spirit. I want to take a moment tonight to look at the scriptures to see what it says about the unpardonable sin. Maybe you don't even know about it, but it's stay tuned and we'll teach you. This is recorded in all three synoptic gospels, which means Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is recorded in all three of them: Matthew 12, Mark 3, and Luke 11. So where this is mentioned in the scriptures, let me give you a little background. Jesus has just delivered someone who was possessed by a devil, and people came together to discuss what Jesus did. And here is the discussion. So it's important to read it in context so that you have understanding. I'm going to take a moment to read from Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 12, and starting in verse 22. Then one who was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God," notice there, the Spirit of God, right? "Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven." Who's the Son of Man? Jesus, right? "It will be forgiven him, But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. This is known as the unpardonable sin, meaning an unforgivable sin. Let's take a moment and define what is the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable sin. In this scenario that Jesus explains, they were calling the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. They were giving the credit of the power of the Holy Spirit to the devil, which is blasphemy. So let me just define it really simply. The definition, so to speak, is deliberately and knowingly attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. They spoke such evil things that it's proof that their hearts were wicked. We know a lot about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Jesus talked about them a lot. You serve me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. They were steeped in tradition. They were not in the meetings to receive from Jesus. They were there to catch him and trip him up and find a reason to arrest him and put him to death. They were not looking to be blessed or ministered to. So when they said these things, they meant them. It was deliberate. It was purposeful. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He went on to talk about, in this passage, he went on to talk about our words. All of our words, our idle words, are on record in heaven and would serve as a basis for judgment on the last day. Many people are sometimes, when they hear about this, they're concerned that they might have committed the unpardonable sin. My response to them as a pastor, the unpardonable sin is something you do on purpose with full intention. It's not accidental. It's not something that you don't know about and you kind of do. This is intentional. Accrediting the works of God, the works of the Holy Spirit, to the devil. It's intentional. It's blasphemous. That's why as a pastor sometimes it's alarming to me when I hear people casually speak of spiritual things. First of all, we need to be mindful of what we say. Our words matter. The Bible says we'll be judged for our idle words. Speaking in particular in regards to the Holy Spirit. We talked about the different experiences. The Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. And speaking in other tongues. There are some who intentionally speak about speaking in tongues that we read about in Acts, the second chapter there. Some people will say, that's of the devil. To me, that's dangerous ground. You're being blasphemous. Let me read this. Acts chapter 2 again, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was an act of the Holy Spirit. So if you deliberately and purposely say that speaking in tongues is of the devil, are you not the same as those people that Jesus was referring to? My understanding is yes. And I'm not here to judge anyone. That's not my job. That's above my pay scale. It's above yours too. But we need to be careful with our words. But we also need not to walk in fear. Did I commit the unpardonable sin? Did I commit? I hope I didn't. No, it's a very purposeful thing. A very deliberate thing. And we need to make sure that we're being careful. Sometimes it would be better to say nothing about spiritual things. You belong to Him. You're not my servant. I'm not your servant. We belong to Him. We serve Him, do we not? So I don't get to comment on you, how you're serving God. And you don't get to comment on me, how I'm serving God. Because the Spirit of God is leading me, just what I was talking about earlier. The Spirit of God leads you, but that might not be the same way He's leading me, but that doesn't make you right and I'm wrong, or me right and you wrong. We need to knock all that garbage off. Focus on what we have in common. We're all serving the same Lord. Amen. We're all washed in the same blood. We're all part of the same church. There's many members, many parts, but we're one body. And we need to be careful what we say about each other and what we say about the church, either this one or at large. This is His church. Jesus gave His life for the church. And we talk very casually about it sometimes. Oh, that church over there, they're all evil, they're rotten, they're this or they're that. You better be careful. Jesus gave His life for the church. Yes, we're not without problems. Yes, we're not perfect because we're made up of people who are not perfect. But who died and left you in charge of being head critical person? You know, I'm just saying we should be careful with our words. I could go on all night about that, but I won't. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a very real part of our life. Just as Jesus was led all throughout His ministry, everything He did, the Spirit of God was guiding Him and showing Him and taking Him places, and He was listening and following and doing. That's the example for us. Check your heart. Use your head, but listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Follow the leading of your heart, not your head. Yes, use your head. Use common sense. Use wisdom. But follow your heart at the end of the day. The world doesn't see Him or know Him. Why? Because carnal Christians, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. They don't see Him. They don't understand Him. They don't hear Him because they don't know Him. You know Him because He's on the inside of you. He's on the inside of you. We need to stay teachable. Listen, pay attention, and follow the voice of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You tonight. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, You said that when You departed, that You'd send from Your Father the Holy Spirit. We thank You that when we received You as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God came and He is abiding and dwelling on the inside of us. Lord, we ask Him for His help tonight. Lord, lead us and guide us. Remind us of all that Jesus said. Direct our path. Lead us in truth. Lord, open our eyes. We pray that our heart would be open and that we would allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and that we will be quick to follow, that we'll be easy to work with. And we thank You, Lord, that You have good things in store for us. Lord, You know all things, and You'll show us things to come. We thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we lean into Him. And we thank You, Lord, that He's helping us. He's our counselor. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our standby power. Oh, we thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, we thank You that we can be led every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.